HiBridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Eat Without Fear, Harnessing Science to Confront and Overcome Your Eating Disorder, by Nicholas R. Farrell, Carolyn Black Becker, and Glenn Waller. Read by Danny Hughes. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to figures and exercises present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Preface. In 2019, we published a book on exposure therapy for clinicians working with patients with eating disorders. As a group of clinical researchers who use exposure therapy as an integral part of our work across a range of disorders, but with a special interest in evidence-based, effective treatment for eating disorders, we wanted to make sure that clinicians were fully equipped to use this critical element of the therapeutic armory. However, while writing the book, we kept coming back to the question of whether we should be explaining the same set of skills to those who could most benefit from them, to those who struggle with eating disorders, and their loved ones who attempt to care for them. Getting access to a good therapist is hard, and not always possible. So why not provide guidance to people in how they might address their own problems, even if they are not able to access treatment with a therapist? Hence, this book is written for you, so that you and your loved ones can access these skills to address your eating and body concerns. When we wrote this book, we faced an important issue. We wanted it to be equally useful for those who have eating disorders and for their families or loved ones or carers. All of you are involved in the eating disorder, and all of you can play a part in tackling it. Therefore, we encourage you to discuss the eating disorder and exposure therapy openly with your home team. However, we did not want to make the writing style too clunky by continually changing around who we were addressing, possibly several times per section. Therefore, we have written most of the book as if to the person with the eating disorder, though Chapter 18 more directly addresses carers and loved ones. That does not mean that we are not thinking about family members. We want you to learn the lessons too. We hope that all of you will listen to the whole book, learn how you can use exposure therapy, and discuss it as a family team. You might even find that you can pass on some of the messages and methods in here to others with eating disorders, or even clinicians involved in your care. Eating disorders are serious mental health disorders with important medical risks, and it is important that we offer the best support that we can. Our greatest concern is to make sure that you have the widest possible access to the best therapies for your eating disorder, and to help you support family members in addressing this serious set of symptoms. This book will not be immediately suitable for those who have serious levels of psychological and medical risk, but it contains very effective skills that most people with eating disorders can use to address fears about eating, body image, weighing, emotions, social situations, and more. So please, listen to this book, share it with those around you, and act on the recommendations. We want to give you the best chance to beat your eating disorder. With you on the journey, NRF, CBB, and GW. February 2023. Chapter 1. Overview of Eating Disorders. This chapter considers what eating disorders look like. We also explain why eating disorders can be explained easily when you consider the factors that keep them going. We are going to focus on what maintains your problem rather than focusing on its origins, because tackling your eating disorder, and really any other disorder, is much more likely to be successful if we look at the here and now rather than at past factors. As part of this explanation, we are going to help you understand the common factors that maintain the behaviors, emotions, and beliefs that are central to eating disorders. It is important to acknowledge that the factors that caused your eating disorder might still be around. If so, then they can play a maintaining role too. Making sense of your problem. If you have selected this book, you probably already have a pretty good idea of what it is like to experience an eating disorder, via either your own eating problems or those of your loved one. Therefore, this chapter will not go into great depth about the literature on eating disorders and their origins, prevalence, and so forth. Your own experience is likely to be far more important. Instead, we will give an overview of the different types of eating disorders and then go on to their common features and maintaining factors. As you will learn in this chapter, the common features and maintaining factors reflect similar mechanisms across the different eating disorders. Central to many of these mechanisms is anxiety. Therefore, learning to address your anxiety in the context of your eating and body concerns and behaviors is critical to treating your eating disorder. That leads us to the rest of this book, where we will explain the importance of exposure therapy in reducing eating disorder-related anxiety. More importantly, we will explain what you can do to implement exposure therapy for yourself. Taking care of yourself while you address your eating disorder. One thing to be very clear about: eating disorders can have significant physical consequences that put you at risk. Starvation, low weight, excessive weight gain, binging, vomiting, taking laxatives, excessive exercise, and more, all can put you at high risk of experiencing potentially severe problems with your physical health. It is also important to remember that eating disorders have psychological and social consequences, such as low mood, enhanced anxiety, isolation, impulsive behaviors such as self-harm, disrupted relationships with loved ones, and/or feelings of suicidality. So, it is important that you should look out for your wider health, either by making sure that you let your family physician know about your eating disorder, or by engaging the services of a physician with eating disorder expertise. If they ask you to get a blood test, to be weighed, to have your heart tested, etc., then please do what they are asking. Similarly, if your family tells you that they are worried about your physical or mental health, please take it seriously. Accept that they are trying to be supportive because they care about you and want the best for you. You might be feeling fine now, but in case your health goes downhill, it is worth telling them now that you will be okay with them showing their concern, even if you seem unhappy with them interfering at the time. Different types of eating disorders. There are several different eating disorder diagnoses. The major ones are detailed in Figure 1.1. They all have their own characteristics, but also share common features. Remember, your precise diagnosis might be hard to identify if you do not nearly fit any one category, as is commonly the case, but that does not make your eating disorder any less serious. The important thing is to understand the factors that keep the eating disorder going so that you can work on ways to overcome it. As you will notice from Figure 1.1, many eating disorders have overlapping features: body image concerns, trying to avoid eating, overeating, efforts to deal with the consequences of having eaten or overeaten, etc. All of these have their basis in fear and anxiety. For example, of putting weight on, of others seeing what we look like, fear of the consequences of eating specific foods. While avoidant or restrictive food intake disorder, ARFID, might look like the most different on the surface, it too has features that are driven by anxiety. In fact, ARFID is probably the most anxiety-based of all eating disorders, as you will learn in Chapter 10. Figure 1.1. Diagnosis: anorexia nervosa, AN. Weight: low weight with physical, emotional, and social consequences. Key behaviors: restriction of food intake, in some cases leading to overeating and purging, compulsive exercising. Key cognitions: concerns about eating or intense fears of weight gain. Body image: very negative body image, in most cases. Risks or other problems: physical risk, damage to multiple bodily systems, and psychological problems, such as low mood, inflexible thinking, emotional instability, self-harm or suicidal thoughts and behaviors, health risks associated with obesity in relevant cases. Vulnerable populations, found among all ages, ethnicities, and genders, though more common among females. Diagnosis: bulimia nervosa, BN. Weight: medium or high weight. Key behaviors: restriction of intake leading to overeating or binging and purging. Key cognitions: concerns about eating or intense fears of weight gain. Body image: very negative body image in most cases. Risk or other problems: physical risk, damage to multiple bodily systems, and psychological problems, such as low mood, inflexible thinking, emotional instability, self-harm or suicidal thoughts and behaviors, health risks associated with obesity in relevant cases. Vulnerable populations, found among all ages, ethnicities, and genders, though more common among females. Diagnosis: binge eating disorder, BED. Weight: medium or high weight, common in people living in higher weight bodies. Key behaviors: some restriction-based and/or some emotion-based overeating or binging. Key cognitions: concerns about eating or intense fears of weight gain. Body image: very negative body image in most cases. Risk or other problems: physical risk, damage to multiple bodily systems, and psychological problems, such as low mood, inflexible thinking, emotional instability, self-harm or suicidal thoughts and behaviors, health risks associated with obesity in relevant cases. Vulnerable populations, found among all ages, ethnicities, and genders, more common among males than AN or BN. Diagnosis: other specified feed and eating disorders, OSFED. Weight and key behaviors: a range of eating problems that do not meet full criteria of the previous diagnoses, but still clinically important or serious, such as atypical AN, which occurs in people with higher weight bodies who do not meet the low weight criteria of AN. Key cognitions: concerns about eating or intense fears of weight gain. Body image: very negative body image in most cases. Risk or other problems: physical risk, damage to multiple bodily systems, and psychological problems, such as low mood, inflexible thinking, emotional instability, self-harm or suicidal thoughts and behaviors, health risks associated with obesity in relevant cases. Vulnerable populations, found among all ages, ethnicities, and genders, though more common among females. Diagnosis: avoidant or restrictive food intake disorder, ARFID. Weight: occurs across the weight spectrum. Key behaviors: lack of interest in food, fear of consequences of eating, such as choking, distaste for a range of foodstuffs. Key cognitions: not concerned about weight gain, more repulsed, fearful, or disinterested in food. Body image: normal body image or dissatisfaction with being too thin. Risks or other problems: growth impairment, intellectual impairment, social isolation. Vulnerable populations: most commonly found in children and adolescents, but can also be found in adults. Males are particularly likely to be found among younger cases. The role of anxiety in the common features of eating disorders. As demonstrated in Figure 1.1, different eating disorder diagnoses have many things in common, as well as differences. Increasingly, however, many researchers and treatment providers are focusing on similar processes and experiences across diagnoses. This approach is often described using the term transdiagnostic. the role of anxiety in the development and maintenance of eating disorders, and how we respond to it, is a very good example of a transdiagnostic feature. This book will teach you to understand how anxiety helps to maintain your eating disorder. For instance, you will learn about the ways in which anxiety leads us to avoid many situations and experiences, even when avoiding causes us problems in the long term. You will also learn how to defeat anxiety and avoidance with a strategy known as exposure or exposure therapy. But you may be wondering right now, is this book really right for me? So, we've designed a little quiz to help you answer this question. Do you do any of the following? Avoid being aware of your weight, such as turning away when you're weighed at a medical visit. Avoid eating feared foods or eating in certain locations, such as restaurants, cafeterias, other people's homes, etc. Avoid clothing items that you consider revealing or unflattering. Avoid eating to the point of feeling full. Avoid eating with other people. Avoid eating food when you don't know exactly how it was prepared. Avoid eating food you yourself have not prepared. Avoid spending time with friends or people generally because you feel fat. Avoid experiencing emotions. Avoid looking at oneself in the mirror. Avoid situations in which someone might see your body. Use exercise to decrease anxiety caused by eating or feeling fat. If any of those sound familiar, then this book is for you. And that is good news, because we will teach you how exposure therapy can help you beat your eating disorder. Summary. By now, we hope you have realized that eating disorders have a lot in common, whatever your diagnosis. Further, our little quiz should have provided a quick demonstration that this book was written for you. However, it is time that we told you what we mean by exposure therapy. The term itself can sound scary to people with an eating disorder and their loved ones, and even to their therapists. Rest assured, however, Chapter 2 will explain exposure therapy more fully and teach you that it really is a very intuitively sensible approach to overcoming your fear. Continue listening, and you will learn how facing your fears can have wide-reaching and long-lasting benefits for you. Chapter 2. Overview of Exposure Therapy. As you can undoubtedly guess from the title of this book, exposure therapy is a key strategy that can help you overcome your eating disorder and reclaim your life. You may find that the term exposure therapy sounds somewhat scary. Who or what is being exposed? Exposure therapy, however, is a very straightforward approach to conquering the anxiety that is preventing you from having a full life. In this chapter, we will explain what exposure therapy is, walk you through different approaches to doing exposure, briefly discuss the effectiveness of exposure therapy, specifically focusing on anxiety, give you an opportunity to consider your own past successful experiences with exposure, the cycle of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Before we explain what exposure therapy is, it is helpful to clarify how thoughts, feelings, including anxiety, and behaviors all influence one another. In particular, there are two patterns of behavior that are very important to identify when we are talking about anxiety: avoidance and safety behaviors. Imagine for a moment that you are visiting a new city. You go for a walk to see the sights, and the fastest route back to your hotel is through a park. A website you read says that this park can be quite dangerous, particularly at night. Unfortunately, you have spent longer than you planned exploring, and it is now dark. What are you thinking? If you are like most people, you are probably worrying about being harmed as you make your way to your hotel through the park. When you think these scary thoughts, you feel anxious. Your anxious feelings then make it more likely that you will think about negative events if you go through the park. This is a feedback loop. Scary thoughts make you feel anxious, and feeling anxious makes it easier to imagine bad things happening, So now let's look at your behavior. What do you actually do? If you are like many of us, you might decide that it is worth the extra time and effort to walk the 10 blocks around the park so you can stay on well-lit streets where people are around. In other words, you choose to avoid the park. We call this an avoidance behavior. Note that if the park is truly dangerous, this can be a very smart decision. But imagine for a moment that the website you read was out of date or just misinformed. These days, the park is actually quite safe. However, because you avoid the park every time you leave the hotel, you waste a lot of time walking the extra blocks and you never actually learn that the park is safe. Thus, your avoidance behavior helps maintain both your fear of the park and your anxious thinking, preventing you from learning the truth. In summary, feelings, thoughts, and behaviors all influence each other. In this case, they work together to maintain your park-related anxiety as you use the behavior of avoidance. But avoidance is not the only behavior that you could have used in the previous scenario. You might have decided to go into the park, but using precautions, like making sure your very big and strong friend accompanies you, and/or carrying pepper spray. In this case, you don't avoid the park. Instead, you use a safety behavior to manage your anxiety and make the situation seem safer. In comparison to when you avoided the park completely, you might now learn that the park seems somewhat safer than you previously expected. But you are also likely to have thoughts such as, something bad could have happened if I hadn't brought my friend and pepper spray. So your safety behaviors, having your friends with you, carrying the pepper spray, calmed you in the short term, but kept you anxious at the park in the long term. Whether you avoided the park or coped by using your safety behaviors, you will still conclude that the park is inherently dangerous to some degree. You never learn that the park is actually safe, so you come to rely on your avoidance or safety behaviors. As a result, you feel more anxious at the thought of going through the park because you have never experienced it as an actually safe situation. So, what is exposure therapy? As noted earlier, exposure therapy is very straightforward. Indeed, you are likely already an intuitive exposure therapist. Imagine for a moment that you have a good friend who is very scared of dogs, all dogs. Now, your friend really wants to get over their fear of dogs. You happen to really like dogs and own several, including a very small, fluffy white Maltese who loves everyone she meets. You also have a couple of bigger dogs that you rescued. How would you help your friend get over their fear of dogs? Write out a brief plan for how you might help your friend overcome their dog fears. Your plan almost certainly included having your friend spend time with dogs. After all, it is pretty hard to learn that many dogs are safe if you never interact with any. And there is a good chance you also said that you would start helping your friend with your loving Maltese, because your friend would probably find such a small and friendly dog more manageable at first. You also may have noted that your friend will need to interact with more than one dog. Those are all what an exposure therapist would have said. If you really are a natural-born exposure therapist, then maybe you also said that meeting with lots of dogs, as much as possible and in many different ways, on leash or off leash, in different settings, will help your friend conquer their fear. If that rings bells for you, congratulations. You just created your first exposure therapy plan. So, to recap, exposure therapy involves exposing a fearful person to relatively safe but anxiety-provoking things or situations that were previously avoided or only endured using safety behaviors, so they can learn that their feared outcome or outcomes is less likely and/or more manageable than they had previously believed. Exposure therapy, basic information. Exposure therapy is a highly effective treatment approach for overcoming fears and anxiety. During exposure therapy, individuals are guided in doing two key things. 1. Abandoning their typical pattern of avoidance by repeatedly confronting things that provoke distress. 2. Stopping the use of safety behaviors and accepting the anxiety they were trying to prevent. Different approaches to exposure. Exposure therapy comes in a variety of forms. The one that most easily comes to mind for many people is in vivo exposure. In vivo means in real life. This type of exposure involves engaging in or with the actual situation or thing that you find frightening. Examples of in vivo exposure include spending time with spiders to overcome a fear of them, learning to swim if you are afraid of getting into the water, speaking in public if this scares you, climbing a ladder to face your fear of heights, touching surfaces that seem dirty if you are fearful of getting infected with germs, going to big warehouse stores if you have previously felt panicky in this setting. Another form of exposure is called interoceptive exposure. In this type of exposure, the focus is on physical sensations. Using a series of exercises, you can induce anxiety-provoking sensations and learn that the sensations are not dangerous and are tolerable. Some commonly feared sensations are dizziness, shortness of breath, heart racing, upset or overly full stomach, feeling hot or flushed. Imaginal exposure is used when it would not be sensible or safe to face the situation in real life. For instance, imagine you have a fear that thinking something bad about someone, such as that they will get hit by a car, will lead to the bad thing really happening. In this case, therapists use imaginal exposure to get you to imagine the feared scenario and face the thoughts that you normally avoid to feel less anxious. Finally, virtual reality exposure can also be used to recreate situations that cannot be created safely or practically in real life. For instance, where someone has a fear of flying, virtual reality exposure is a lot easier than repeatedly exposing someone to an actual flight. After all, few patients and therapists have access to planes or other resources needed to take such flights. Does exposure therapy work? The short answer is an unqualified yes. Over 50 years of research supports our intuitive expectation that exposure works, and numerous research studies attest to the excellent benefits that exposure therapy has for individuals with a wide range of anxiety-based disorders, such as social anxiety, specific fears, such as fears of spiders and heights, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, panic disorder, and generalized anxiety disorder. Based on this research, several national healthcare organizations have written guidelines that recommend exposure therapy as a frontline treatment for anxiety disorders, including the American Psychiatric Association in the United States and the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence in Great Britain. If you are experiencing anxiety-related symptoms in addition to your eating disorder, exposure therapy will likely be helpful for those problems as well. As noted in Chapter 1, the overlap of anxiety and eating disorders is so strong that exposure therapy is key to a good outcome for both anxiety and eating disorders. If exposure is so wonderful, why doesn't everyone use it to feel better? One challenge in using exposure therapy is that it is difficult to face your anxiety, particularly if you have been avoiding what you fear for a long time or have come to rely heavily on safety behaviors. Unfortunately, there is no getting around this issue. Facing your fears and giving up your reliance on avoidance and safety behaviors is, quite simply, very hard in the short term, even though it is very beneficial in the longer term. However, it's not as impossible as you might fear. There is a good chance that you have already experienced the benefits of exposure. We may not always be aware of it, but we probably all have done mini courses of exposure therapy in the past to overcome typical childhood fears. Perhaps you remember being scared to ride your bike without training wheels for the first time, or the anxiety that comes with trying to swim in the deep end of a swimming pool. You may also remember feeling anxious when trying to learn to dive headfirst into a pool, or needing encouragement to climb something tricky. More recently, you might have ended a relationship that was not going well, even though you were worried that you would never find anyone else who was better. For most of us, Overcoming these fears was accomplished through exposure.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?